everyone. Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here at the Enquirer studio with podcast producer and photographer Sam Green. And we are back. I just finished, it feels like, a recap video about what the Bengals did wrong in their Monday Night Football loss to the Commanders. And that was just, feels like, a couple of hours ago. But it's Wednesday and we are on to talking about where do the Bengals go from here and their upcoming matchup against the Carolina Panthers. So let's get into it. Let's start with some quick injury updates. Zach Taylor just spoke. The Bengals have a late walkthrough today. Zach Taylor pushed the schedule back a little bit to give the guys some more time to rest and get themselves ready to go. So Joe Burrow will talk after the walkthrough. So we will have some updates from him later on in the week. But as far as an injury standpoint, Zach Taylor said B.J. Hill, defensive tackle B.J. Hill, and Sheldon Rankins are still dealing with their hamstring injuries, but they expect B.J. Hill to be able to get back on the field before Sheldon Rankins right now as far as their availability. We still don't know if that's going to be this week, next week. Zach Taylor really didn't want to get into the details of that, of course, but it really sounds like B.J. Hill is further along in his recovery timeline than Sheldon Rankins. So we'll see if that means he can play against the Panthers, but regardless, that is the injury update with them. And Trent Brown, as most of you have probably seen at this point, is going to miss the rest of the season. So it is Marius Mims time. The Bengals drafted him in the first round, and through training camp he looked like he was going to win the starting right tackle job, but then he suffered a pec injury and Trent Brown then was thrusted into the starting spot. And for the most part, Trent Brown has been pretty good. The Bengals offensive line has actually played very well through the first three games, and so it is a bummer for the Bengals offensive line and for Trent Brown to be out for the season, because although Mims looks like he is going to be a very good player in the NFL, Trent Brown really had so much experience and that offensive line was really gelling well. So we will see what Mims can bring. It was a up and down performance for him, as you would expect in his first time out there on the field on Monday night against the Commanders. So we will continue to see what Mims's development looks like as a starter in his rookie season. But that is it from an injury standpoint for the Bengals for right now, as far as we know, as their practice week really gets started tomorrow. So we'll keep you updated on all of the injury updates and everything you need to know as we get closer to Sunday's game, but I figured that would be a good place to start. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about what happened on Monday night now that I've had a chance to rewatch the game, hear from Zach Taylor, Lou Anarumo about what they saw after rewatching it. And the main takeaway on the defensive side of the ball was this: the Bengals simply need more from the players that are on the field right now. Yes, were they banged up on the defensive line? Yes. Were they starting players that probably might not even be active on another team? But the situation is what it is here in Cincinnati, and I wanted to really point to what's going on the defensive line, because of course the biggest themes coming out of the loss to the Commanders was the Bengals' inability to get any pressure on Jaden Daniels. And when a quarterback throws 21 of 23 passes, that is a very big indication that you're just not affecting him enough if he can be that accurate. So with Rankins and Hill undecided of when they're going to be able to get back because those soft tissue injuries, they're both dealing with hamstring injuries. You don't ever want to rush a player back from that, because the long-term effect of if a player comes back too soon from a hamstring injury could really be a bigger issue. So they're going to be very careful with those two guys because they really need them back. But right now, the Bengals are going to have to get more from the players that they have on the field. So those are players like Zach Carter, Joseph Osai, Jay Tufele, those guys, Sam Hubbard. They have to play better in this upcoming game against the Panthers. No ifs, ands, or buts. And when I had a chance to ask Lou Anarumo if he felt like he needed more from Joseph Osai and Zach Carter in particular, those are two third round picks, he said yes. And I'm sure they would tell you that they need to play better. And then several questions from the local media today about Sam Hubbard. It just hasn't looked like the Sam Hubbard you've seen in the years past. And so Lou Anarumo said, yes, Sam is still trying to work his way back to being comfortable because he had that training camp injury that he had to miss almost all of training camp with. So they did say they feel like he's still getting healthy. But regardless, Sam Hubbard needs to step it up and play better moving forward, because right now Trey Hendrickson is all the Bengals have on the defensive line in terms of production. And it's so easy for the Bengals opponents to just key in on taking him away, because they're looking at the Bengals right now and saying, if we can take Trey Hendrickson away, who on that defensive line can wreck the game? And on Monday night, that's exactly what the Commanders did. It wasn't Trey Hendrickson's best game. He was obviously receiving a ton of attention, but none of the rest of those defensive linemen really stepped up and took advantage of their opportunities with more reps. And that can't continue to happen. Of course, expectations need to be realistic with some of these players. But when the Bengals spend draft capital and spend third round picks on players like Joseph Osai and Zach Carter, they have to play well, and they have to play up to the level that is expected when a team uses a third round pick on you. And so we will see if those guys are able to take a jump this week. It is unfortunate that for Joseph Osai in particular, you know, he showed so many flashes over the last couple of years of what he can be, but it just hasn't been consistent enough. And he was a very big liability in the run game on Monday night. So he specifically needs to play well, because if Sam Hubbard's not going to be able to give the Bengals what they need, because at this point in his career, he might just not have it to be able to do it at the level of the amount of snaps that the Bengals are giving him right now. That is something that the Bengals would probably consider if they were able to rely more on Joseph Osai and if Miles Murphy was on the field. So they've got a lot to figure out there, because they're not getting the production from Hubbard and Osai that they need opposite of Trey Hendrickson. And it leaves them with some issues, because it'd be one thing if you had full trust and you were getting a ton of production from your edge rushers. That could really help take away from some of the limitations you have at the defensive tackle spot along the interior with some of the injuries that the Bengals have. But right now, everyone from edge rushers to interior defensive linemen, everybody but Trey Hendrickson, just not getting it done consistent enough. And that's what you saw on Monday night, and the Commanders took full advantage of it. So we'll see what the character and what the makeup of some of these defensive linemen is, because that was kind of a punch you in the gut type of performance. And we'll see if they're able to rebound and really play better up front, because I think that's where a lot of the Bengals' issues on defense are coming from. I didn't think that the secondary, there were some plays that Cam Taylor-Britt probably want back. Dax Hill didn't tackle particularly well. For the most part, the Bengals' secondary has been solid, and that's a big step up, because last year, that was the weakness of this team. So we're just really looking for that game where it all clicks. And you saw them take a step forward in week two against the Chiefs, but they took a step backward in a must-win game on week three. And that leaves the Bengals at 0-3, very much needing to save their season in Charlotte this weekend against the Panthers. And before we get to some highlights of that matchup, things we're looking forward to, I wanted to touch a little bit on the offense. And the Bengals offense was far from the issues that this team had on Monday night. They weren't perfect. Joe Burrow wasn't perfect, but he played pretty well. Ja'Marr Chase looked like the player that you've seen the last couple of years, and that connection looked like they are back to being the Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase that you expect to see. The run game continues to provide a spark for this offense with that mixture of Zach Moss and Chase Brown. And I think the Bengals offensive line, as I mentioned at the top of this show, is playing really well. So T. Higgins, he was able to get back into the swing of things on Monday, but you know, you didn't see him really take off. And I think it's just going to take him a couple of games to really get up to the full speed T. Higgins that you expect to see. But it's a really good thing that they have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase both out there on the field at the same time, because when those two guys are healthy and Joe Burrow is able to be protected at the level that he is, only good things can happen. But they've really got to cash in on their trips to the red zone. But where I want to go with this conversation about the offense is specific to Joe Burrow. Following the game on Monday, I asked Burrow what type of leader he needs to be for this team, because everything you read and see, and having been in the every single one of Joe Burrow's press conferences and in the locker room on a weekly basis, Joe is not a rah-rah type of get-in-your-face leader for this team. He's very much a lead-by-example type of guy. And I think he said, I have to take a look at what type of leader that I need to be for this team at this moment, because it might not be able to be the what he has been, and to really just be able to focus on himself and really spend most of his time with the offense. This is kind of the next evolution for Joe Burrow as a leader. He is the franchise. He knows it. Everyone around him knows it. And it's time for him to step up and become an even bigger leader for this team. And it might involve him stepping out of his comfort zone a little bit. And of course, you never want guys to be something that they're not, but he is the heart and soul of this team. And without, you know, some of those more vocal leaders that this team used to have in DJ Reader, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, Jesse Bates over the last couple of years, those guys are more about talking in their leadership styles. And there's no right or wrong way when it comes to the right way to be a leader. Everybody just has their own style. And Joe's isn't, you know, typically let me get in your face and scream type of it. And I'm not saying that that's what he needs to do, but he certainly is going to have to assert himself more with the players in this locker room, because they are running out of time, and you just don't want to see this team finally figure it out, but it be too late. Yes, 0-3 is not a place that anyone on this team wants to be, but there is still an opportunity to get going in the right direction, and that's all that the Bengals have to focus on. And I really agreed with what Joe Burrow said after the game on Monday night. He said, we need to stop talking about the playoffs and what do we have to do to get to the playoffs. And, you know, people wanted to talk about potential another match with the Chiefs after week two, because that game was so entertaining. Like, the Bengals have to win games before they can even start thinking about the postseason. This team is 0-3. So all focus needs to be on how do the Cincinnati Bengals beat the Carolina Panthers before you can even talk about this team and if they'll be able to make it to January. There is still so much football. And as Burrow pointed, like, the division games haven't even started yet. So if the Bengals can get themselves to 1-3 and then beat the Ravens in next week, and then the Giants a week later, then you get yourself into a much better situation. Plus, you have an AFC North win. Things are not off the table for the Bengals in terms of this team being able to turn it around, but they have to focus on the Panthers and the Panthers alone. And this game, everybody probably circled before the season started that the Bengals should absolutely dominate this game. But the Bengals haven't been consistent enough to be given the right to say we should definitely all pick that the Bengals are going to go into Bank of America Stadium and just totally blow the Panthers out. That is not how it works in the NFL. And the Bengals were heavy favorites in week one against the New England Patriots. Didn't play well, ended up losing that game. They were heavy favorites against the Commanders. Didn't play well, lost the game. So it's reality check time for the Bengals. Yes. Do the Bengals have more talented players than the Carolina Panthers? Absolutely. But that hasn't mattered this past month. It is all about who shows up on that game day during those 4 hours. And for the Bengals, it hasn't been good enough on their roster. So we can talk about the Bengals have more talent. Unless they start turning that talent into consistent performance on the field, they are going to struggle. So let's talk a little bit about this matchup with the Panthers. Things have certainly taken a turn in Carolina in recent weeks as the team decided to bench Bryce Young, their quarterback who they drafted with the number one overall pick last year, and start a very familiar face in Cincinnati in Andy Dalton. And he absolutely crushed it in his first start for the Carolina Panthers last week. And the Panthers surprised a lot of people because they beat the Las Vegas Raiders, who the week before went on the road and upset the Baltimore Ravens in their home stadium. So that's what I'm referencing. Like, in the NFL, the talent is so spread out across the board. Every team has talent, and all of these coaches, they spend so much time all day, every day, leading into these games to try and figure out a way to give their team an edge to win games. So the Bengals are really going to have to bring it against the Carolina Panthers with Andy Dalton starting at quarterback. And Andy Dalton, in that game against the Raiders, he threw for 26 passes for 26 of 37 passes for completions for 319 yards and 3 touchdowns, and his quarterback rating was 123.6. He was excellent against the Panthers, and it was a big reason why they won. And Lou Anarumo said it perfectly. Andy Dalton is a pro's pro. He knows where to go with the ball when we send all of these different types of pressure packages. The Bengals are giving Andy Dalton all of the respect in the world heading into this game because they know firsthand the type of player he can be. So for the Panthers with Andy Dalton, it's a lot of the same offense that you saw with Bryce Young, but just with a different quarterback who's able to deliver the ball and get it to the places it needs to be. The Panthers' leading receiver is Diontae Johnson, another familiar face for Cincinnati's defense. He, of course, spent a lot of years with the Pittsburgh Steelers and caused the Bengals a lot of issues. He's very fast and he can make plays. And against the Raiders, he caught 8 passes for 122 yards and 1 touchdown. So he can definitely still play at a very high level. And with Andy Dalton throwing him the ball, the Bengals are going to have to key in on Johnson and make sure that they're able to take him away because he is capable of taking over a game. And there's been new energy infused into Carolina after they made the quarterback switch. The Panthers looked like the worst team in the NFL through the first 2 weeks with Bryce Young at quarterback. And Andy Dalton brought in a new level of confidence and belief. And if you saw any of the post-game locker room videos of the Panthers celebrating that win against the Raiders, they very much look like a new team after making that switch. The Bengals are going to get the best out of the Carolina Panthers. And the Bengals are hoping that they're bringing their best because they have no margin for error anymore at this point. So the Bengals will be prepared for Andy Dalton on the defensive side of the ball. Lou Anarumo said against the Commanders that they were back up into the double digits with tackling. It's not where he wants to be, so they need to shore up some things when it comes back to tackling. But that's kind of the summary of the Bengals defense versus the Panthers offense. And then for the Bengals offense, Carolina's defense is definitely their weak point. They should go into this game knowing that the Panthers, specifically without Derrick Brown, don't really have the enforcers that they would typically have on the defensive line. So Cincinnati definitely has upper hand in this matchup, but if they don't play like it on that day, it won't matter because, as we've seen, talent only gets you so far, but the Bengals do have full respect for Jadeveon Clowney, who's really the star of Carolina's defense right now. All right, that's it for some thoughts on this upcoming game between the Bengals and the Panthers. So be sure to keep it at Cincinnati.com all week for your coverage of the Cincinnati Bengals.